Hey, I wanted to jump in here and let you know that we have an introductory pricing going on right now up until May 18th. And what this is I have taken my courses and combined them all into a Move Better bundle. So you're going to be working on your feet, you're going to be working on your posture, and you're going to be working on your core, pelvic floor, all of those things. And you can save big right now. I am selling this for 50% off. So head to movingthroughmidlife.com, click on the Work With Me link. It is the Moving Through Midlife program, your Move Better bundle, where you can start working on feeling better in your body. You also then get access to workouts, recipe guides, live sessions with me and live classes with me throughout the month. So head to movingthroughmidlife.com, click on the Move With Me link, enter intro, and that will give you 50% off. I'm looking forward to it.
Welcome to Raising Healthy Humans, a podcast created for busy moms, where you can easily find info on health and wellness for your family. Join Courtney, a health coach, movement and posture specialist, and founder of FormFit, an active and supportive community where she helps busy moms move more. Here on Raising Healthy Humans podcast, she shares personal life experiences, training, knowledge, and conversations with other health and wellness experts so you can raise healthy humans.
Today, I'm speaking with Dana of Fountain Mills Functional Wellness about psoriasis. She works in dermatology and wants to share a holistic approach to psoriasis and the effects of this autoimmune condition. I hope you enjoy our conversation. Hi, Dana. How are you today?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
I'm doing great. I'm happy to have you on, as you are talking about psoriasis, right?
Yes.
Why is psoriasis a passion of yours?
Sure. So I've been a dermatology PA for 18 years, and I just really love working with people with psoriasis and in the conventional medicine space, but then also, you know, realize that there's more that we could be doing to support people's health rather than just medicating. And I chose to really focus on that for people with psoriasis because it really just affects their whole life tremendously. It's not just an outside problem. And when you make a big difference for people's skin and then downstream also their health, but they're super grateful, and it just can make a huge difference in their quality of life, their how they feel about themselves, how their skin just feels, how it looks. And that's really what drove me to want to really develop these programs specifically for people with psoriasis. I just love working with them.
Okay. Can you explain exactly what psoriasis is?
Yeah. So psoriasis is an autoimmune condition where the immune system starts causing the skin cells to shed too fast, and they'll build up on top of each other and cause plaques on the skin. So they can look different based on the type of psoriasis and the color of the skin. But what you'll see most commonly, if you were to Google pictures, are thick areas on elbows or knees, but it can affect top to bottom that are usually red with these silvery white scales. And it can be itchy and it can crack and be sore. It can burn. Even just your shower can burn when it's hitting the skin. But what people don't realize is not only is the immune system affecting the skin, but it also makes people more prone to a type of arthritis called psoriatic arthritis. And the inflammation that's in the body that's being caused with this immune system issue is also making people more prone to heart disease and diabetes and high cholesterol and other autoimmune conditions as well. So it's a full body issue.
Okay. And you mentioned it's because a lot of people, when they hear psoriasis, they think it's a skin condition. And you said it's an autoimmune condition.
Correct.
So, which I feel like that's starting to be spoken about more, but I know all of these skin conditions, like my son had eczema, and you go to the dermatologist and they give you topical creams. And, you know, you might be on those topical creams for extended periods of time. And it was after kind of diving in deeper for us, starting to learn about health and what the gut is doing, where we started realizing, wait a second, this there's something more going on. So I'm assuming that's similar with psoriasis, especially since it's autoimmune. And interesting also that, are you still a PA for dermatologists?
I am. Yeah. So I am kind of meeting people where they're at on both sides.
Yeah. So go ahead.
I was just going to say, not everyone wants medications as their option, and not everyone wants to make the changes in their lifestyle where they're just like, you know, just give me the medicine. Is that the greatest choice? Maybe not, in my opinion, but to them, that's what works for them. So this way, you know, I'm able to help people on both sides and really see the issue from both sides.
Okay. And do you notice when people come to you, what do you find? Are they looking for, obviously, do you feel that more are looking for that approach of just give me what's going to heal me? And if that's the case, does it tend to work for an extended period of time?
Sure. So that question is a little more complicated.
Yes, so, yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. So the people who come to see me at the dermatology office, they are, most of them, looking for just give me a kind of a quick fix, or give me something that just makes me more comfortable or makes it not visible. And then on the other side, I have people who work with me as clients and not as patients, where I help them understand and learn and motivate them how to make their own lifestyle choices and work on their guts and all of the things that are a part of my approach. And that, you know, those people are trying to get away from the medicines that they've either tried and they didn't work, or they just don't want to be on the medicine. So when people use medications, they help as long as you're using them. So it's not curing you. So there's like a ladder approach to treating psoriasis from a medication standpoint. There are creams which just temporarily help. When you stop, you may get a little bit of a reprieve, but then they'll come back. And the creams don't always help everyone either. And then we have pills and we have shots, and you see all those commercials on TV for those, but they all do give relief and they help and they work, but they have their potential side effects. And there's something you have to stay on. If you decide, okay, I don't want to do this anymore, it's not if the psoriasis will come back, it's just when.
Right. And I guess my question would be more like, as they come in, they're learning. Are you then explaining like this? Yes, it's a skin condition, but this goes deeper than that. Because I would assume many people may not know the connection between what they're eating and what they're, you know, maybe the toxins in the air, all of that stuff, how that is affecting their skin. I mean, yes, it's becoming more common knowledge now, but I would imagine, do you find that there's still a lot of people confused about that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of education that needs to happen, but on how what you eat matters and how those certain foods can contribute to inflammation, which stirs up your immune system. And it's just this ball that keeps rolling down the path, to how your stress is affecting your skin, how your sleep is affecting your skin, how your movement or lack thereof is affecting your skin, and toxins for sure, what we're putting on our skin, what we're using as cleaning products, and how our body is able to then detox those things that we're exposed to. All of that matters. And that's really what I dive deep into with people in the 3C skin saving method. It's calming the gut, it's clearing effects of stress, and cleaning out toxins. And then there's bodies of work to do in each of those three C's.
Okay. And I'm wondering, when you have, I would assume, because you work in dermatology as well, that you're also working, do you then work with them like, okay, we're going to start you on the medication because it's going to help calm it, and while we're continuing to work on things on the back end?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It doesn't have to be one or the other.
Right.
Yeah. And people who choose to go the medication route absolutely are going to get benefits from doing the other side of things. And the hope is then, as they progress, they'll need less and less and less medication. And okay, not only that, not just for their skin, but by keeping that inflammation and the immune system kind of calm, then hopefully keeping them from getting those other downstream health consequences, like the high blood pressure and the diabetes.
Right. Okay. When you have people come see you, what are like the first signs? I know you said the scaly burning, like, does it start? Because I feel like that seems to be like, once it's really reacting, or do you see that like, and it may be difficult to say just because you see them once they have that situation, but do you know, like, what are some of the early signs people might be noticing?
Yeah, when they have psoriasis, usually their first signs of noticing is they're just like, where did this rash come from? And it may be just one patch. Other people, especially after an infection like strep throat, they can get little baby patches just boom, out of nowhere, just covering them. And it's just like a, oh my gosh, what just happened moment. But there are also people who it affects just their joints and hasn't affected their skin yet. So for them, their first symptoms might be more stiffness in their fingers or their lower back, especially when you first get up in the morning. Now, other types of arthritis can give symptoms like that too, but those, it's not always that it presents first on the skin, but I'd say probably at least 70% of the time, that's the case, is your first way of being aware you have it is something's coming out and showing you.
Okay. And so I know you mentioned this earlier with the psoriasis and psoriatic arthritis. Mm-hmm. Those are one in the same. One's just affecting the skin and one's affecting the joints.
Correct.
Ah, okay. Interesting. All right. So you mentioned the three C's.
Mm-hmm.
You said calming.
Calm the gut.
Gut. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us, provide us maybe a couple things that you may do to help work with people to help calm the gut?
Yeah, we're looking at the R's. We want to remove things that are not supportive to the body. We want to then replace with things that are supportive. From that can be as simple as foods, and sometimes it's supplements that people need. Not everyone needs one particular supplement, but there are ones that are in general good for most people with psoriasis. For instance, omega-3s is a really great one. We'll work to repair the damage to the gut, help strengthen that gut lining, make it less leaky, like a hose that has a bunch of holes poked through is how I like to describe leaky gut. You don't want your stomach and your intestines to be like that. You know, we want it to be a nice solid tube. And then we're re-inoculating. We're trying to bring in more good guys to push out the bad guys. And we want to have that nice balance in our microbiome and rebalancing everything. And that's including stress, how we're rebalancing that too, even though that comes with the next C.
Okay. And when we're working on the gut, is this something where you have to pull everything you said remove? Mm-hmm. I know people get so nervous about this. Like, does this mean I have to remove everything?
For best results for a short period of time, it is good to remove the most inflammatory producing foods. And the biggest ones are gluten, dairy, sugar, and nightshades, which are tomatoes, peppers, potatoes, eggplant. There are other ones that can affect people, other categories, but those are the, if I had to say, ones that are most likely to be aggravating the situation, those are the categories. Now, does it mean you can never enjoy those foods ever again in your life? No, the goal is to have a nice balanced diet, but to really get that inflammation squashed, to get that immune system settled, you're looking at removing those for a chunk of time and then maybe slowly bring a little bit back and see kind of where your line in the sand is. Where, how much can I enjoy without getting symptoms back? Yeah. And it very much is a balancing act.
Yeah. Yeah. It was something my doctor had mentioned with my daughter, different situation, but he was talking about like breaking through the ice. And he's like, I want to keep her right here, you know, not breaking through the ice. So I would think it's the similar type thing. Yeah. Like we can touch on it a little bit, but we've got to make sure it doesn't come through to where it shows up on the skin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then with replace, I think that was the next R. Mm-hmm. Are there, you mentioned omega-3.
Mm-hmm.
Do you usually try to work, I'm assuming mostly on food first and then supplement? Do you provide supplementation as well? Or
yeah, suggestions.
Is it mostly done through food?
Yeah, you try to get as much as you can from food, but there are people who are like, you know, I am not going to eat a piece of salmon if it kills me, you know? So there are times where you need a little help, but the goal is not to just take 40 supplements a day, you know?
Right. Yeah. Well, and so many of the foods that we eat can provide multiple nutrients that we might be deficient in. And it's not as difficult, I think, as some people make it seem. Like when you do have all the supplements, you know, instead of taking the supplements, you just need these three things,
right?
And it covers you.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Yeah. And then the second C was
clear effects of stress.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is always sounds much easier than what it is.
Yeah. And I mean, it's not realistic to think no one's going to have stress in their life and that we're just going to magically poof it away. No, but your body is like a vase. You can only pour so much into it before you overflow. And the goal is giving strategies and techniques to help put a little hole in the bottom of your vase so you've got some water draining out. So as things are being poured in, there's an exit strategy. And so not only we're not just looking at stress itself and how to balance that, but it's also looking at how are you sleeping? Because if you're not sleeping well, not only just quantity, but quality, that's going to increase inflammation in your body. If you're not getting the right type of movement, some people don't move at all because it hurts with psoriasis or they're embarrassed to be in short sleeves and shorts. But other times people go on the other side of the fence and they're like, oh, I need to like kill myself with these intense exercise regimens, which then also contributes to inflammation. So there's a balance of not too much, not too little, and helping people, especially for people who don't really move. It's finding ways to make that attainable and doable and enjoyable, where it's not just another chore, which then would add stress.
Okay, so this is definitely a passion of mine with movement. How do you work with people, especially those who maybe work for long periods of time, don't have a lot of time? What do you usually recommend they do?
Yeah, so a lot of times people look at it as, I have to go on a treadmill for an hour and I need to have this huge block of time. No, you can do a 2-minute thing a couple times a day, and it's building a stack. You know, let's start by this. And once it may be, let's just, if you're not mobile at all, maybe it's just walking around your block. Or, you know, if it's maybe going, if you have stairs in your home, maybe it's walking up and down a flight of stairs a few times and progressing further and further to where you can get your heart rate up. And then let's not just get the heart rate up, but let's incorporate a little bit of strength. Let's incorporate some balance, but it doesn't have to look like an all-day affair. It can be short bursts, even scattered throughout the day.
Okay. And do you notice any particular type of movement tends to help your clients?
Yeah. Walking is excellent because one, it's easy, it's free, but you can really just calm those levels of inflammation as simple as walking. But for people who don't mind doing something a little more, maybe outside the box for them, yoga is very good at not only getting your exercise as we think of exercise, but helping your balance and helping your strength. But then it's also helping drain some of that water out of your vase by calming the effects of stress. And as soon as I say yoga, people are, thinking of these tiny, super skinny women and their tight yoga pants and all these flexible poses. No, you don't have to look like that. You know, yoga is where you're at right now, and it doesn't have to be what you think in your mind. And there's plenty of YouTube videos out there that will show you other types of people doing yoga.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you can, and it doesn't even have to be, I think yoga, sometimes people immediately think that bendy person, but yeah, it can be just stretching, basic stretches that you can even do while you're sitting in your chair that helps to create different movement and that lymphatic movement and everything. One thing that I know you're kind of touching on with all of this is it's not any one thing. We really have to start looking at everything as this whole. This is because everything affects everything else in our body. So, if you're not getting that good night's sleep, the stress of that, because if you think about the nights that you don't get a good night's sleep, you're on edge, more things set you off and all of that. And then on the other side, when you work out, you usually feel better, you're happier, you tend to want to eat a little bit healthier, like all of these things tend to work together.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's a three-legged stool. If you can be perfect on your diet, you can be perfect on your toxins, but if you're not working at your sleep and your movement and your stress levels, your stool's going to fall over.
Right. Or overdoing it, which you did mention as well with like high intensity. Not that high intensity is bad, but if you are leading a very stressful life and dealing with maybe you're not eating perfectly and you're not sleeping well, and then you're, dealing with a lot of stress as well with work or home life or whatever, and then you do high intensity, then you're just like compounding.
Right. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Okay. So with the third C, what one was that?
That's clean out toxins.
And this is working on toxins on the body, in the house.
Yeah, in your environment that you can control as well, from your water quality to your air quality in your home, to exposures to EMFs. They're all around us. We're not going to avoid them completely, but what are some things that you can do to limit some of your exposures? And then as you're working to decrease, the vase analogy works for this too. All this stuff that's being poured in, we don't so much want to just eliminate what all's going in, but we also want to increase our drainage too. And that's where the detoxification strategies. And a lot of people will think that they have to do like these crazy intense detox regimens and
liver cleanses.
Yeah. I mean, that's not necessary. There are things that you can do on a daily basis that don't have to be crazy. It could be as simple as buy one of those little rebounder trampolines is one thing that people can incorporate. Yeah. And just jump in place a little bit, get those lymphatics moving. That's what's cleaning out the garbage out of your body. So yeah, there are a lot of things that we can do that are simple that don't require crazy things.
Yeah. Well, and I just was watching something. There's a gentleman who I follow, and he was just saying, you can just do jumping jacks, and you don't even have to do full on jumping jacks. But like, even that stimulates that lymphatic system.
Yeah.
So we try to tend to make things really difficult. And it doesn't mean you have to go do 5 minutes of jumping jacks. Who would want to do that anyway? But even just 10 jumping jacks in between, you know, sitting at your desk, especially for those people who work from home, it makes it easier, not in an office, but do 10 jumping jacks before you, you know, get on that phone call or whatever. So yes, making it more something that they can do. And you mentioned EMFs, and I'd be curious to know, like, what you recommend, because I know that there are effects, and it's, you know, that's a very, I don't want to say touchy, but it's very difficult to get rid of a lot of that in your home. But I was watching a video the other day where they had EMFs running and not running near these seeds. And they were doing an experiment for kids, and how quickly the seeds grew that had no EMFs around them compared to the seeds. I mean, this was over, I don't know how many days. I think it was a few days, 8 days maybe, and how the other ones had not grown yet. So obviously it's affecting us in some way. How do you, like, what would you recommend to help with that?
Yeah, so some tangible things. You can go down a huge rabbit hole of all the different things to do, but you spend a lot of your day, hopefully a nice 8 hours, in bed. So getting your phone away from your bed at night, not taking your tablet into bed with you, like keeping them at a minimum 6 feet away. And if you need it for your alarm, put it on airplane mode. Turn your Wi-Fi routers off at night, and try to keep as many things that are plugged in around your bed away. And just making those changes, those are something we can easily control. Like for the router, I would never remember to turn it on and off every day. So ours has a timer. You can set it to go off at like 10 p.m. and then on again at whatever time in the morning. So you don't even have to think about it. It just does it. So Wi-Fi gets kicked off. And so we don't need to be watching anything after that time anyways, you know? So it doesn't have to, you're not going to be able to avoid it completely, but it's just trying to keep as much as you can away from your body as much as you can. And even just if you're throughout the day trying to not carry your phone in your pocket, if you are able to set it, if you're at home or at an office where you can set it a little bit away from you, where it's just not in our personal space constantly.
Okay. That works. I can do that, I think. It's so hard because it has become a part of us.
Yes.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. So. And I'm not always perfect at keeping my phone away. You know, I'm not, but
right.
You know, it's just trying to be aware and making little changes, and all these little changes that we make, we hope that they add up and just keep increasing our health. I mean, it's not going to hurt me to keep my phone away from me.
Right. With the water, you mentioned clearing out your water. How do you recommend? Is that just basic filtration, or is there something that we need to take it a step further?
Yeah, filtration is important. And for years, I grew up in a home where we use like a Brita water filter, and thinking that that was enough. But looking into it, you know, we've up-leveled at our home to a system that is built in and has a greater ability to filtrate a lot more out than what we're just getting in the regular store-bought pitchers. And it's nothing against them. They do a good job at what they're able to do, but there's more that we can get out of there. And the Environmental Working Group, they have a section on their website where you can put in your zip code and it will tell you how healthy your water is. And that's frightening.
Yeah. It's very frightening. I've done it. I had a friend mention it to me, so I did it and I was like, oh goodness.
Yeah. So again, I mean, we are blessed in the United States to have clean water. But sometimes the things that clean also can be harmful to us. So it's good to just get a little extra filtration if you're able to.
And the one that you have, is it one that's like attached to the sink, or do you have like a whole house system?
No, just one that's attached to the sink. We're we do just where we're going to be filtering our drinking water. But then we do for our shower, we have a shower one.
Okay. Yeah. So. That's because these are fairly simple. I mean, simple. That's not, they are a little bit more expensive. But I know the sink one, was that one that you were able to put in yourself?
Yes. My husband was able to do it. And I think the filters last a year or something. He takes care of it. I don't know exactly, but yeah. And you can definitely taste a difference in the water. Like whenever we go somewhere and we don't have that, we're like, oh man, like there's definitely a different taste to it, and not in a bad way, but it was just surprising that you could easily tell a difference between that. And then our regular like bathroom sink and places where we don't have that, it's a good idea just in the morning, the first water, let it run a little bit, wash some of the stagnant stuff that's been sitting all night long.
Oh, that's a good idea. Perfect. So if we're working to clear up, say, the psoriasis, is that something that usually takes a long period of time? Or is that something that, say, you've got the model student, model client who is doing everything that you've recommended, the three C's, how long do you notice it takes for them to start clearing up the skin?
Yeah, it's super variable depending how long they've been dealing with it, how much inflammation is in their body. But you should start seeing, even just at first, before the skin starts clearing up, people start noticing less itch and less pain. And those things tend to happen pretty quickly. And then within a couple of months, sometimes faster. There are people who it's quick, but I'd say the average is in about 2 to 3 months, they start saying, okay, we're getting somewhere. But autoimmune diseases in general can take a good 6 to 12 months sometimes to really get in check. And then it's not, all right, I made it. I get to go back to how I used to be. No, you got to keep those going. Otherwise, that inflammation will start building again and things will start creeping back.
Okay. And with the psoriatic arthritis, is this something you can find like through blood work, or how are people able to determine if this is something they may be dealing with?
Yeah, psoriatic arthritis is a little more tricky, and it usually involves getting a diagnosis from a rheumatologist, an arthritis specialist, because sometimes it can be hard for people to tell, is this rheumatoid arthritis? Is this psoriatic arthritis? So it's not as clear cut as when you see it on the skin.
Okay. And what can we do? So maybe we don't have psoriasis, but what are some things that we can do just to have happy, healthy skin?
Yeah. So it's getting rid of the junk that people put on their skin. You know, your skin's a mouth. What you're putting on it, you're basically eating. It's being absorbed. So sunscreen's a big one. You know, I do tell people every day, you know, use sunscreen, because I'm also working with people with skin cancer. But it's best to use one that's a zinc-based sunscreen, and staying away from the hard-to-pronounce chemical sunscreens like avobenzone, oxalate, avobenzone. Those get absorbed. And what are those going to do long-term to us? Good question. That's more gunk we're pouring into the vase. So getting a good zinc-based sunscreen, that's important. Things that you're putting on every day, your moisturizers, your makeup, if you wear makeup, your hair products, all of that, even down to your fingernail polish, all of that matters. So finding products that are toxin-free, so we're not affecting our hormones, so we're not affecting our potential for allergies and all the other disruptions that these chemicals can do. So supporting our health is more, our skin health is more than just trying to look good. You can have products that help with anti-aging and helping with all of that, but come from more natural-based products rather than chemical-based. And there's one company I really like. It's called Poofy, P-O-O-F-Y, Organics. They're out of New Jersey. And they have all kinds of lines of, from cosmetics to cleaning products for your home, to fingernail polish, to shampoo. And so it's one nice stop where you can get a lot of things that you're really reducing your toxin exposures. So that's important. And less is more. A lot of people just want to put on like 40 different things. But yeah, just keep it simple. And that's just with health in general. Keep it simple. Eat your fruits and vegetables, as many different colors a day as you can, organic when possible, move, sleep, and decrease how many toxins. And that's just true for our health in general.
Yeah. And there's so many benefits that you're going to get. You know, if you do have psoriasis or any sort of autoimmune, you can diminish or possibly eliminate the effects of them. And then also, like you said, the high blood pressure, diabetes, like this, it affects everything.
Yes.
So yes, you do have to do a lot of different things, but it also affects a lot of different things as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And if psoriasis is someone's first autoimmune condition, there's odds are against them. They're most likely going to get another one. People with one autoimmune condition, I think it's like around 9 times higher that they are to get another autoimmune condition in their life. So just, it's keeping that inflammation down. That's huge.
Yeah, perfect. Can you tell all of our listeners where we can find you to learn more from you?
Sure. You could go to my website at fountainmillsfunctionalwellness.com. If you're interested in the toxins and things we talked about how to avoid those for your, and not just people with psoriasis, but if you go to skinsafehouse.com, that also has a little guide that I have for people that's free on how to kind of eliminate some of the toxins in their home products, especially like laundry and cleaning and things along those lines.
Okay, excellent. All right. And then if there's one thing that our listeners can do today to help themselves and their children live a healthier life, what would you recommend? Where do we start?
Yes, I would start by decreasing the amount of foods and packages and decrease the toxic chemicals that you're using on your laundry and your cleaning products in the house.
Perfect. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day for our conversation.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for taking the time out of your day to listen to our podcast. We hope you found this information valuable and can incorporate it into your family's life. Make sure to check out our show notes for all the important links available. Come join us on Facebook at Moms Raising Healthy Humans community page. Also, please check out our wide range of memberships, family monthly focus ideas, challenges, live events, and on-demand and live workouts, meal plans, and so much more. Head to formfitonline.com. And as always, keep moving.